What is up, everybody? It's Monday. We're barking. It may or may not be dark. We're pre-recording today because we got our man Steve Wiltfong on. He is a very busy person, and we definitely wanted to make sure that we kind of got him in and out and all that stuff. And man, we just appreciate so much his time for coming on. Let me get the disclaimer that we give every week. This is a deeply unserious show. If you're looking for us to talk a lot about Georgia football, we're not going to do that. We are going to talk about Steve, and we are going to talk about his origin story, his backstory, all the things that he's kind of experienced in his years on the job covering this whole recruiting thing. And we're going to get to that. Before we do, Jay Gruz, what was your weekend like? How much of the Masters did you watch?
Not as much as I wanted to, unfortunately. But I did enjoy plenty of the Masters yesterday. I sat in on Sundays. That's always kind of my thing. You know, I pick up tangentially along the way, but Sunday is devoted to it, right? And so it was not an ideal setting to watch it. I was at my grandmother's house. There were probably like four or five kids under 3 years old there, just screaming and running around. And I'm trying to enjoy a beautiful day at Augusta through my TV. So it wasn't exactly relaxing, but great Masters, and Scottie Scheffler, man, just an animal.
Stone Cold Killer. He earned that title this week. It was a lot of fun. That G-Day, obviously on the same weekend for the first time since Kirby was there. Sister Kissing, it was a tie for the first time since 1967. We had that covered. That's probably going to be the extent of the Georgia football talk. And, hey, let's go ahead and get Steve on, man. I just can't wait to talk to him about this stuff. Steve's one of the best in the business. We've got such a crazy cheat code over at On Three with him and Chad Simmons working together now.
It's unfair.
It's stupid unfair. And a big time family man, all around great dude. What's going on, Steve?
Appreciate you guys having me on. But when you said this show is all about me, I think I saw the amount of people that are now watching the show. Are like, I was watching still. My wife even turned the shit off.
Hey, We would definitely tune in. A lot of times, we don't know how our stuff resonates with our audience, because this is for Roos and I an exercise in self-indulgence. It's one of those things. It's like we get people on here that we love to hear from, and we obviously, you know, as soon as you came over and started working with us, we were like, man, we definitely need to get Steve on. And honestly, we would have probably gotten you had you stayed where you were at some point if they'd have let you.
Sure.
Because I mean, man, I've known you for a long time, and you know, we haven't had a chance to hang out a ton, especially here in the last few years. But what's it been like coming to On Three, man? What's it been like in just your short time here?
Well, it's exciting to be here. Obviously, On Three's a rocket. So many talented people in our space work here. Most of the best recruiting team sites are on the On Three platform right now. The top insiders, Andy Staples, you know, are obviously part of On Three now, teaming up with Chad. Like you said, we got this young dude, Pete Nakos.
Yeah.
Who's doing a fantastic job. Obviously Joe Tipton and Hayes Fawcett, they own their space. And it all starts with Shannon Terry. You know, he invented Rivals, is still standing. People are working there, paying their bills still. He started 24/7 Sports. It's thriving. People are still working there and paying their bills. Now he's got On Three. So I always tell Shannon he's the economy maker. Yeah. You know, he makes stuff happen. And, he's got all the ideas, all the innovation, all the creativity is at On Three right now. And that's why I'm here. You know, we're still in the infancy stages. This thing is nowhere close to being a finished product. It's going to be awesome for student athletes and prospects. It's going to be awesome for it's already awesome for readers and consumers. And again, it's still just a baby.
Yeah, no doubt, man. It's an exciting time for sure. And, like Jake said, one of the big additions, you for sure. But Steve, one of the things we always talk to our guests about on the show is where you come from. Obviously, people know you as, you know, one of the preeminent recruiting guys in the country. But where does the Steve Wiltfong story start? How do you end up in this crazy business? Because nobody, it seems, has a normal path into this stuff.
Sure. So, you know, my first real job, because I got fired from every other job before this real job I had in high school. I got some hellacious stories about how I got fired from my high school jobs. None of them were normal. But my first real job was at the South Bend Tribune right out of high school. I was 17 years old. They had a job opening in the South Bend Tribune sports department for $8.50 an hour. I wore my homecoming suit, and this was August of 2000. My suit was from Backrack. It was like draped on me, like it was big. The pants were baggy. My hair was blonde. I had hair. It was blonde, but I had a black goatee. Just trying to give you guys what the era was. But I knew I wanted to be a sports writer. I just, you know, was still a kid at the time, you know. But the other people that were probably interviewing for the job were wearing jeans and a golf shirt, and I came in with a suit, you know. I got the job, and I answered the phone in the sports department, and right away. So this is, you know, 23 years ago, the internet's just getting fired up. You know, Al Gore just started getting it rolling, right? You know? Sure. So, thanks to his great idea, we have the internet. And the newspapers were king back then. Sorry, I don't know.
I think that people understand that you're taking calls, buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I can't figure out how to get the damn thing to stop ringing on my phone. I got a computer, but it's ringing on my, yeah. So anyway, newspapers were king. I mean, like the sports section at the South Bend Tribune on the weekend was over 20 pages. I mean, Notre Dame football and Notre Dame athletics in general was a big deal, still is, from a fan following standpoint. And so high school coverage, that's where people got all their high school coverage and everything. So my first ever byline was a volleyball, high school volleyball match. But the South Bend Tribune owned a magazine that they sold subscriptions on called Irish Sports Report, which was a competitor of Blue and Gold Illustrated, which is now on the On3 platform in internet fashion, but they still have a magazine that comes out. Blue and Gold Illustrated does. Irish Sports Report does not come out anymore. So it did not stand the test of time.
Sure.
But it was a good magazine at the time, and Eric Hansen ran it. He's in the Indiana Sports Writer Hall of Fame. And then Vaughn McClure, who you guys may know, he covered the Falcons for ESPN, was a good buddy of mine, was actually in my wedding. He unfortunately passed away a couple years ago. He had too large a heart. So anyway, passed away. But so I used to go into that office, and Vaughn was probably like 6-7 years older than me. But Eric, you know, Eric is an older guy. But I would go in there, and I'd ask those guys every day if I could do something. And probably not every day, but frequently. And they never had anything for me to do. In fact, there are probably times where I opened that door and they didn't want me to open it. but eventually Vaughn figured out that I could take some of his grunt work off his table. So like the Olympic capsules on the last page of Irish Sports Report would summarize, you know, whatever season, if it's the fall, how the cross country teams were doing and all that. And then obviously the winter women's basketball and stuff, spring baseball and stuff. Women's soccer was a big one. But anyway, I started writing those summaries, and that led to me getting to write some feature stories on some of the standout athletes of those teams. And then while I was also covering high school football, high school basketball, still answering the phone, still opening the door, whatever people needed, you know, they figured out that I could do some of the grunt work on a Notre Dame game day, because again, back then technology was not what it is today. Like, so on game day, I had to type out all the game stat. I would have to type out everything that went into the paper that wasn't bylined. I would go in the locker room with a tape recorder and just stick it in groups and then transcribe whatever quotes I got and gave it to the real writers at the time. And that evolved into me then being allowed to write a feature on the third string wideout or stuff. So now I'm in the diehard phase of it. And so now you're out on the Notre Dame beat and you're able to rub elbows with some really talented sports writers. I mean, there were a lot of guys that were in and around and out of town. And Mike Frank was running Notre Dame scout.com site at the time. He now runs a Notre Dame site still. It's called Irish Sports Daily, but it's independent. So he hired me to be his Notre Dame beat writer probably in about August of 2005. So I'm 5 years in at the Tribune. I put in a lot of time there. So I take this job. It's like my first full-time position. Cause mind you, while I was working at the South Bend Tribune, I wasn't making much more than $8.50 an hour as those years went on. I was working at Smoky Bones. I was working at Lone Star Steakhouse.
Oh, nice.
You know, just other things to help supplement your income, right? And so I get this job at Irish Eyes is what it's called. And I get over there. And I still was a little naive to the online community. And I'll never even forget some people at the South Bend Tribune saying, you're going to go take a job at the .com. And like, they kind of scoffed at it, you know, cause again, people don't know what they don't know. And no one acts like that anymore. But I took that job and I get over there and I quickly realized that no one gives a shit about what I'm writing. They're there for the recruiting coverage and I'm just filler till the next recruiting update. Because they could read the South Bend Tribune for the football coverage, and those guys were good writers, you know? So I was like, I got to start covering recruiting. So I asked Mike Frank if I could cover recruiting, join in, and he said, sure. And I was telling this story. I don't remember who I was telling this to last week, but I'm not going to sit here and act like I'm the world's greatest writer. But when you go back to recruiting writing in August of 2005, the updates were like four paragraphs. Words were probably not capitalized at the start of sentences. I mean, like, but it had the meat and potatoes, which is why people were there. Sure. But I thought I brought a different dynamic. I got to think I'm one of the first, if not the first newspaper background person to write for .com. Or scouter rivals, you know, in the recruiting lane, not in the team coverage lane. And so I thought that gave me a leg up and I did a fine job covering Notre Dame football recruiting. Mike Frank took his company from scout.com to ESPN. So we were an ESPN affiliate. I got to write some, ESPN utilized me to write some features on some guys outside of the Notre Dame market. And with that, I met JC Sherbert and Jerry Hamilton. Those guys were two of like the recruiting analysts at ESPN at the time. And they were the first two hires at 24/7 Sports on the recruiting team. And so those guys pitched my name to Shannon Terry, Ronnie Sanders, Dan Rube, whoever was involved in that. But I was very thankful. You know, so obviously I accepted a position at 24/7 Sports, and that was roughly 14 years ago. And we weren't even on the web. So helped build that database behind the scenes. And I went from the Midwest guy to the Big Ten guy to a national analyst to director of recruiting, which I was for over 10 years. And now I'm here with y'all talking on the Bark After Dark. PG-13 show, which is more my speed.
You know? Yeah. More our speed too, buddy.
Yeah, absolutely.
We figured if we got together, then we were going to let a few slip anyway. So might as well just go ahead and embrace it. I always like to ask people or get an indication here, because I feel like it's probably sooner than most people realize. But at what point did you get into sports writing and you woke up that the first time and you were like, I get to do this today and they're going to pay me for it? Like, at what point did that happen for you?
Well, obviously early on, I mean, it was an awesome deal, you know, I mean, like at the South Bend Tribune to be in the Notre Dame press box, I probably ate like six hot dogs that day, you know, I mean, and they were free. I was like Forrest Gump with the Dr. Peppers and those hot dogs were damn good. I hope those Notre Dame hot, it's been a long time since I've been in that press box, but that's, you know, they're better than Heber Nationals. It's hard to find better than Heber Nationals. They just did a great job. But that,
sounds,
I mean,
like they're a lot better than the ones they serve at Sanford Stadium as well.
Some funny things happened early in my career. You know, like Dusty Baker, you guys are baseball guys, right? So my first byline on a Notre Dame Saturday, Dusty Baker was really good friends with Tyrone Willingham, and Tyrone Willingham was the head coach of Notre Dame. Notre Dame's undefeated in his first year. There's a ton of excitement around the Irish. Dusty Baker just took the Giants to the World Series. They lost. And then I don't remember why or how these are the details, but takes the team to the World Series and now he's not their coach. So I don't know what the details of that were. I need to go back and look at that. So he's there visiting his good friend Tyrone Willingham because Willingham got to know him at Stanford. And none of the – everyone's kind of set in their ways. So that was like an extra story that they didn't have on their plate that they wanted to do. And David Haw, who's now the voice of Chicago sports, he went to Chicago Tribune and was the columnist and now does a lot of radio. He's like, let's let Steve go talk to Dusty Baker. And before he even finished his sentence, I was on the elevator down to rushing down to the sideline. And literally the only question that they wanted me to ask Dusty Baker, nothing else mattered, was what is your interest in the Cubs job? Because he had not accepted the job yet. And obviously, you know, I went out there and asked him, and I got a little sidebar on the front page of the sports section, not even like page 16 where I was used to being with my high school coverage. Well, I guess high school coverage sometimes would be on the top flat during the weeks. And if I had the big high school football game, but so I got to talk to Dusty Baker, but probably one of my favorite stories from covering Notre Dame football was Tommy Lasorda was at a Notre Dame game. I don't know why the hell he was there, but they had me go at, I don't even remember what they wanted me to talk to Tommy Lasorda about. I just remember I went up to ask Tommy Lasorda a question, and I must not have been paying attention because he was about to take a picture with some people, and all of a sudden he pulls me in there. So I'm in a picture with Tommy Lasorda and two people that actually want to be in the picture with Tommy Lasorda, and then they got me on the end. So I wonder how that turned out. But yeah, there's fun times when you're doing this job. When stuff like that happens,
I'm curious, you mentioned Chicago, and I sometimes forget that that's your area of the world. There's a guy that we ran into a couple of years ago.
Oh, I'm curious if
you know, did you ever know Les Grobstein?
Mm-mm.
Oh, okay. Okay. He was like this nighttime host in Chicago, Chicago sports radio. I just wondered if you had a story about him because he was a very interesting guy. He showed up
when we covered the Georgia Notre Dame game in 2017. Yeah. There was a guy. He had a shoulder strap on and an old school tape recorder hanging from the shoulder strap, and he walks into the Kirby Smart press conference after that game late and holds this tiny microphone over in Kirby's face from the side. And there was a guy on Twitter. He's called the Rambling Grimace, who took that photo of him doing that and put it into all sorts of historical, all of these historical things. Like, you can name some of them.
Yeah, it was outrageous.
It was unbelievable. Outrageous. But yeah, it was apparently he did have a little bit of a following there. But like Roos said, he was like a late night radio host. We were scrambling to try to figure out who this guy was because it was the most awkward thing you've ever seen.
Georgia just rallied to win that game at Jake Fromm's first start, and you guys are over here trying to cover the Chicago night radio host. hey, tip of the cap, salute to that guy who had a job to do. He didn't give a shit what anyone
thought. He did not care at all.
Oh, it was awesome. It was so
And it was hilarious. It was great. It was – honestly, if we're being completely honest about that, I probably learned a lot from that. Like, since then, I've done some things – just, you know, okay, I probably look a little bit like an idiot, but I've got to get this done, so I'm just going to do it, you know.
R.I.P. Les.
You got to figure stuff out like that in this business, though. Steve, you really do.
Steve, I'm curious, man. You've covered now a lot of recruitments, thousands at this point, tens of thousands probably. Is there one or even a couple that really stand out in your mind as just being like totally insane, over the top?
I mean, I'm never good when I'm put on the spot like that. If someone brings up a name, I'm like the "oh yeah" type guy. Sure. I mean, obviously Travis Hunter's recruitment on the last day, was very fascinating, you know, because I made some calls that morning just to double check on Travis Hunter in Florida State, and the schools I called said he's not coming here, so I didn't even think to call Jackson State, you know.
But when
I caught wind of that was a pretty cool moment. We were doing the 24/7 sports signing day show, and that was pretty cool to say out loud. I don't think anyone had said it out loud yet, and then obviously he went through with it and had a great year. Those guys were rock stars on Jackson State's campus.
Oh yeah, I mean, no question.
you know, and so that's one of the bigger shockers that I covered that comes to mind. If you guys have some other ones, I might be able to, you know, chime in on what I remember from it. Cyrus Kuindigio, you know, he committed to Auburn on national TV, and you could tell when he said it, he didn't feel good about it. And obviously he had his older brother at Alabama, and so he never sent in his papers and ended up going to Alabama. And, you know, I talked to Ari Quandro or Kuindigio when Nick Saban retired. He was one of the guys I reached out to that still had the same phone number from back in the day.
Oh, wow.
We talked about that, and he said that Cyrus just that, you know, in the moment was like, I don't want to go in there, and my brother's doing his thing there, and, you know, I'll do my own thing somewhere else. But they ended up getting it all on the same page. Ryan Kelly was a great interview about Nick Saban retiring. You kind of forget how good some of these players were when they were in college. And, you know, Ryan Kelly's the center for the Colts now. I live in the Indianapolis area now, so that's where I'm at in the suburbs here. So Ryan Kelly's someone that my kids root for and we like, and we pull for the Colts. You guys kind of beat us in a pivotal game this year down there in Atlanta.
Oh God. Well, that, if it makes you feel any better, we're still the Atlanta Falcons. So don't worry about it.
It doesn't because we, you know, it doesn't because there's no guarantee that we'll, and I say we, because we share season tickets with another family. With youth sports, you're not guaranteed to even have the Sundays off. So we just kind of split the Sundays, but
yeah,
we might not be close to the playoffs this coming year. So it would have been nice to make one. And hell, if we would have won the division, we would have got a home playoff game. So those are hard to come by.
Great home venue there for sure. That Lucas Oil is a pretty place.
I was there, man. I was there for that title, the win, Kirby's only win over Saban.
That may be what it's best known for at this point.
Yeah. So I wasn't there for media. You know, I had just came home from the All-America Bowl and in San Antonio and got a chance to go to that game as just a fan, and it was cool. The atmosphere was awesome. Just seeing the Alabama and Georgia fans, the chanting of typical, you know, what you would chant in your home stadium being heard by the beer stand and stuff. And it was just a cool environment downtown. Indianapolis, man, we're second to none hosting sports.
It's a oiled machine.
Yeah. NBA All-Star game was here this year. It was awesome. You know, my wife and I, we saw Keith Urban and Walker Hayes play a private concert. And I say private because they didn't do a good job promoting it. It was in this back room inside the convention center. And I swear there's probably 1,000 people in there. And there was State Farm had this like little basketball gym in the back right corner where kids could, it was an obstacle course. And you would shoot a basket, then dribble through a thing, throw a pass through a window, shoot another basket off the garage, and then make one more basket. I think my kids did that for an hour and 15 minutes. State Farm my kids are 9 and 6. State Farm kept an eye on my 9 and 6-year-old while my wife and I could enjoy Walker Hayes and Keith Urban, you know. Nice.
That's great. Yeah, those are good times. As a parent, those are invaluable times right there. Those worked out well. Hey, I got my kids. I didn't have to deal with my kids, and I didn't have to worry about where they were, and I got to enjoy some time with my wife. Those are always the best times. So we finish up every interview by asking everybody the same questions. And mine, listen, man, it put yourself in this situation. You'll never experience it, but it's fun to think about. You're dead. You're a dead man, and I'm going to put you on the spot. I love how you parked up just there. But you get a chance to kind of organize your homecoming. You get a chance to organize your own funeral. Who's eulogizing you? Who's sending Steve? It can be anybody, dead or alive, no matter the field. Who's eulogizing Steve Wilfong?
Have you seen the Curb Your Enthusiasm episode where why am I drawing a blank? Where Larry David's friend has his funeral while he's alive, and he's watching the funeral.
Yes, yes.
And it turns out he's a COVID hoarder.
Yeah.
This is that scenario in a way.
Yeah.
who's giving my eulogy? Hell, I don't know, man. I don't know. Shit. I don't know, man. It's depressing to think about, honestly.
It is a little bit depressing.
It's morbid. Jake brings the energy down every time he asks that
question. Yeah, no, I don't have that answer. I don't have that answer.
What would you say, J.C. Sherbert, move on?
Hey, I'm good with it.
Right. Hey, you know he would come up with something. He'd probably say a lot of things that you didn't want people to know. But,
you know. You don't know that much about me. You know?
Okay, that's good.
Even better.
Yeah.
Even better.
Steve, my question for everybody, because you know we get a lot of media guys on here, we get a lot of former players, that kind of thing. A lot of travel is involved in your job, and so I'm curious, what is the worst hotel room that you've ever stayed in?
You know, I just hate hotel. Or I don't even know if it's called a hotel, but there are times where I've stayed in a place where you open the door and you're outside.
Yeah, sure. That's the motel, yeah.
That's the worst. I went out to New Jersey one year to see like Rashawn Gary, and it was right around when the hurricane happened back then. Do you remember?
Yeah,
it might not have been Rashawn Gary, it might have been the year, I don't know, but that's generally the area. And I was like, Steve at this age would have figured out to cancel that trip before I even got on that plane, you know, but Steve of that age, you know, you would work in the dumbest environment possible, you know? And so, I went out there and I got my hotel on Hotwire and I went to the hotel. Look, I'm always trying to save the company, you know, so Hotwire had the best rates. So I go to the hotel and they didn't have my room anymore because they had to, you know, they said they didn't have the reservation, but they gave it to some local family that probably needed the room because their house was flooded or whatever. So I was, you know, it was what it was. I just had nowhere to go. I was able to change my flight to get home the next morning. I had nowhere to go. So I stayed at the airport. It's the only time I ever slept at an airport.
Yeah,
that's weird. It was weird. It's weird to sleep at an airport. Is that, and so I did that.
That's a unique one. That's the first time. I imagine I've always worried that was going to happen to me. That I'd never want to have to sleep at the airport. It sounds awful.
And it literally is one of, there was no hotel rooms. I mean, like the city was underwater, so you can't just like I was at least in the airport, you know, so there are people that were in far worse shape than me. So I wasn't complaining. I just wanted to get home.
Sure.
Oh, glad you did. And glad you came on with us, man. We really appreciate it. And look forward to getting the chance to hang out with you here pretty soon, you know, and kind of catch up. But we appreciate it. Glad to have you at On Three, dude. So happy about that.
Yeah,
very happy to be here. Bark After Dark again. Can't hope to be back on it again. That was fun. You guys take care. We'll see you later. Hope people watch the episode.
Appreciate you. Good stuff, man.
Yeah, Steve picked up the cue on it being the type of show that it was, which I like.
I think so. It resonated with him. I think it does with everyone, man. We've got a good thing going on here, Jake.
A little Matt Godwin-esque with the alerts on the phone.
I'm not shocked. Can you imagine how many texts Steve Wiltfong probably gets in a day?
Yeah, I mean, while we were recording this, just to give people a time reference here, Georgia had a player enter the transfer portal. Now it's intentions to enter the transfer portal. We're doing this. We don't always do them early in the day. We don't even often do them early in the day, but sometimes time requires that. And when you're dealing with a man as busy as my man Steve Wiltfong is, you know, one of the things I'll say about guys like Steve and guys like Chad, probably one of the reasons we haven't had Chad on, it's a tough ask of me personally to ask somebody like that to get on, because you know as much information as they get and as much information as they write about, that 20 minutes is an eternity to those guys.
Oh, no question. Absolutely, man. And I mean,
I'm going to take myself off the board for 20 minutes.
Steve's vice president of transfer portal for us over at On3. I mean, you've got, you know, it's all popping off. Like you said, Georgia player enters the transfer portal. I mean, so yeah, it's a big ask for to get a guy like that on. We appreciate him making time.
I've got transfer portal paperwork filled out on my desk right now. I'm thinking about transferring to the unemployed figure it out line. I think.
Yeah, I like that. I like that.
I think, you know, get out there, maybe go off the grid for a little bit. Because boy, do I hate my cell phone these days.
Oh boy, I understand, buddy. I understand. It's weird, right? Like, remember how cool cell phone, like your first, when you first got it, it was. And now, like, it's, I call it the albatross sometimes because it's like, you can't get away from it. And like, in the instances where you can, like, to me, that was the best part of the Masters.
Yeah.
Was the no phone, man. Like, just knowing you can't have it and you can't access it. And I mean, there's something so freeing about it.
If you're a famous person, I love how all roads lead back to the Masters. I love it that way. But if you're a famous person, how good must it feel to go to Augusta National and double fist beers?
Yes.
You know, you're just out there. I mean, dude, if I went to the Masters, if I was like, I read a story recently about Jake Gyllenhaal where this guy claims that he was in a bathroom and Jake Gyllenhaal was like standing in a corner. And he could hear him kind of doing key bumps over in the corner. And he comes out of the corner, he makes eye contact with the guy while wiping his nose. And he goes over and they're washing their hands and they make eye contact through the mirror. And Jake Gyllenhaal goes, "Nobody will believe you, man."
Yeah.
And just walk out of the bathroom. Sure. You know? I mean, can you imagine? That guy can tell Jake Gyllenhaal's story. Thank goodness it was in a bathroom that it brought a video of it or something like that. Sure. You know, like, I mean, obviously I'm not sitting here saying let's protect the cocaine addicts of the world. But like, I mean, you can have a private moment at least. And if you're like a celebrity, Brad Pitt can go to the Masters and just swill 25 crow's nest beers and nobody will get a photo of him doing a single one.
And like objectively, you might be like, I'm speaking for me personally here, but I feel like you'd be the same way. I might be like, hey, cool, that's Brad Pitt. All right, I'm going to get back to hanging out at Augusta National. You know? Like, I don't think I'd walk up and shake his hand or anything. I think I'd just be like, oh, cool to see that. That's what another neat experience at Augusta.
Yeah, I don't know what I'd do. That's a good question. I might, depends on how many beers I've had. You know, if I've had several beers, under no circumstance am I probably walking up to him. But if I had several beers, I think I'd probably tell everybody that made eye contact with me, "Hey, Brad Pitt's over there."
Yeah, sure. Like that, but,
you know, I saw it. You need to too.
That's a very drunk guy thing to do.
He's a very good looking guy in person.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
But no, I mean, what a haven! What a haven for us all. But yeah, when I went I had, what was it, like 5, 6, 7 months between when I worked at 24/7 and On3, some of the most valuable, recharging months of my entire life. And dude, it was so nice to be able to, I was like, I got to run to the grocery store. And I was like, I'm going to leave my phone at home.
Yeah.
I'm just going to leave it at home. Good grocery store, bro. Here's what I'm going to, or better yet, it started with, hey, I'm just going to leave it in the truck. I'm going to leave my phone in the truck. And then I started leaving it at home. And then first time I came home and my wife was like, hey, my middle daughter's Lanier. Lanier's throwing up at school. I need you to come get her. Where are you?
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, okay, well, we're all tethered, not just by our jobs, but by life itself. So,
sure. Oh, is it that magical time of the week?
We're moving into a land of both shadow and substance. So thank you.
The Grover Cleveland of the Grover Cleveland of, oh God. Listen, I made that reference on the Georgia show and I'm going to explain this. So I click on your article and I think it was like guys who made noise this spring or something.
Yeah, I was doing like a weekly thing and I was trying to compile intel and kind of who.
And you're talking about Ja'Cory. You're talking about Ja'Cory Thomas, and you called him the Grover Cleveland of the spring because we heard about him for a little. He was there for a little while, then he went away, and then he came back.
He was on the list in like week 3, and then he was off the list for a week, and then he came back on the list.
One of the most obscure references that I could imagine reading.
You're the only person that pointed it out, which really broke my heart. I thought I was being so clever.
It was an incredibly clever thing to write, but I was like, where did you even come up with this, man? That would have never crossed my mind. Oh God. All right. You want to take it, or I got one for you if you want to.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. So mine's pretty simple, man. For the first time in a long time, we've been talking about me trying to lose weight on the show. So one of the things I've been skipping was pizza. And so for the first time in a long time this weekend, I had some pizza. I got a thin crust pizza with mushrooms and jalapenos, and I put some hot honey on it. It was outstanding. I'm curious. Tell me favorite chain pizza, and what are you getting on top of it?
Man, I don't think any of the chain pizza is bad. Let me go ahead and just preface that right now. Like Papa John's is fine.
I'm with you.
Papa John's is fine. Domino's is probably the best. It's probably like my favorite, even though I love it in real time. I hate it about 3 hours later.
I feel like Domino's really did a good job of like rising from the ashes. Like
they did, but they also, I feel like they've put poison in their pizza.
Sure.
It tastes the best and makes me feel the worst. I am a Pizza Hut loyalist. For years and years and years, I probably didn't have Papa John's pizza until I was like 22 years old. I just never had it. There wasn't one in Douglas, Georgia, so I didn't have it.
Sure.
But chain pizza, I would say Domino's probably has the best thing going right now. I will say this, though, and they're all different. Mellow mushroom is something that, first of all, it's kind of the Five Guys of pizza. It tastes amazing, but it will break your ass.
Yeah, sure.
You might need to take out a second mortgage. But mellow mushroom in Athens, I love it. Like, I mean, I've had better pizza, but in terms of like finding pizza around here, I'd rather eat no pizza anywhere else. Like, it's so good.
Amici makes a great pie down there too, as well. And good, really good wings also. But you haven't answered my question. You haven't fully answered my question. What are you getting on the pizza?
Okay. I'm a pepperoni mushroom guy. If you want to throw green peppers or onions or.
See, I love the Pizza Hut Supreme to me is a really well-composed pizza and also probably the best cold pizza in the world, I think.
I'd love to see in the comments, and I want to come back to the comments on this show, if people remember the Pizza Hut salad bar. And if you do you remember the Pizza Hut salad bar Thousand Island dressing?
I only got the Caesar the Caesar.
So I used to make a big salad, little cottage cheese.
Yeah, yeah.
And get as many of those rectangle crackers as I could possibly get.
Oh, the captain's wafers.
Yeah. My God. Yeah. And just, I mean,
we are the same in this regard. I like the salad bar was about crackers for me. That was what I want. Those are the most buttery and delicious cracker possible.
I remember there were times where I would make salad bar. I'd make a salad there or at like Western Sizzlin' or at a local restaurant we had in Pearson that was initially called 76 because it was kind of at a little truck stop off of 82 and then it became Corbett's Family Restaurant. So many people have come up to me and be like, hey, are you going to eat some lettuce with those salad and eggs? Because I would just crush it. I still to this day, if you give me some Thousand Island dressing, I will eat it. I had one last night. That was like a late night meal for me. We had some salad left over from cooking steaks this weekend. I went over and tossed a little Thousand Island on it, crushed it with some Ritz crackers.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, I love pepperoni mushroom. That's kind of my go-to. I'm a little obsessed with mushrooms just in general.
Me too.
I love mushrooms. And I like pepperoni a lot too, but one thing I haven't delved into though is kind of making my own pizza.
You need
this. I've seen that stuff.
That's an elite pizza topping.
Yeah.
You drizzle that over it. Oh God, it makes it. Making your own pizza is great. And it's a lot easier than you think because you can go get the dough from Trader Joe's. So I used to do it with some frequency. They always turned out pretty good.
Are you I was going to ask you something else that honestly I can't even remember now because you screwed up my train of thought. So let's stay on the same vein.
All right.
What is your go-to frozen pizza?
Oh, ooh, that's a good question. There's none of it I care for particularly.
I feel like there's a right answer here. There's two right answers.
To be honest with you, there's most of it I don't care for very much.
Okay.
It never comes out how I want it to.
How do you want it to come out?
I don't know. I feel like it's always like a lot runnier than I want it to be.
Yeah, you're a well-done pizza guy.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Yeah, I just want everything to adhere. I don't want shit slipping off.
Well, buddy, I'm about to teach you something here in a minute. So I'm about to give you a really good tip on life. So keep going.
All right. My preferred pick is probably, and I don't think you're probably even thinking of this one, Amy's.
Yeah, Amy's is solid. I've had
Amy's frozen pizza is very good. It's one of the best.
I have some trouble getting the crunch out of it, but yeah.
Yeah, I can understand that. And then probably the other one that if I were going to keep it on hand is Screaming Sicilian.
Screaming Sicilian's got great flavor, but again, it is kind of tough to get the texture right on that.
Yeah,
I can see where you're coming from.
Yeah. But yeah, probably those. I mean, you know, I will tell you this once in a while, man, I will fire up the air fryer and I'll get a little hankering and I'll go get some of those Totino's pizza rolls and throw them in there.
Oh yeah. Really. Bagel bites.
Oh God.
Bagel
absolutely.
Bites.
Absolutely.
When my wife and I first started dating, we would get a bag Caesar salad, a big thing of bagel bites. And that was like dinner. You know? And then, you know, shortly after that, we looked one day. I was about to do my constitutional and I needed something to read. And I grabbed a pizza box or something. And I noticed that three bagel bites has like, you know, 70% of your daily value in sodium. And I was like, okay, maybe we don't need to eat 10 of these tonight. Maybe we don't need three, you know. All right, let me tell you, if you haven't had these, you got to have these. The Paul Newman pizza, frozen pizza, is outrageously good.
Humanitarian salsa.
Humanitarian pizza.
Yeah.
but the Paul Newman pizza is fantastic. It's really good.
I've had it. You're right. It is good.
And to me, because we think along the same lines, we kind of want it to be the same type of kind of crispy, you know, adhered, you know, all together. Get one of those bad boys well done or fringe burnt. And it is delicious. Sure. Another one that has passed it for me of late, and they've changed the game. They've changed their game. But again, you pay about $10 for one of these frozen, is California Pizza Kitchen. California Pizza Kitchen's uncured pepperoni pizza is super good, man. It's super good. What I like to do is I like to get that. One whole pizza is less than 1,000 calories. So with like losing weight and stuff, sometimes like if I'm like, man, I'm going to eat some pizza tonight.
Yeah.
I'll save up all my calories. If like I'm having 2,000 that day or whatever, I'll try to keep it below 1,000 that day. I'll save up a whole one. I'll cut it. And every other slice of Frank's Sriracha.
Oh, yeah.
And then maybe leave myself a couple of just naked ones.
Yeah, sure.
With no hot sauce on it. Oh, crush it. So go out. We're giving these people free advertisements, but I guess this was the Steve Wilfong pizza episode. It reminded me of him talking about South Bend. I wanted to ask him, there is a brewery in South Bend called the Evil Czech, and it's like Czech CZ.
Like the people.
Yeah. Like Czechoslovakian folks.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's called the Evil Czech, and they've got a restaurant and they've got this thing called Lightning Lunch And I did it on Saturday because I did it the Saturday before the Georgia Notre Dame game. I got up early that morning. I drove the 2.5 hours or whatever it was from Indianapolis to South Bend. I was starving. Okay. I was absolutely starving. $17.99 for Lightning Lunch. And it is like this massive buffet of tapas, pizza, wraps, wings. Dude, I had coming on little plates like this. I had a stack of plates like this high.
I bet. I can see that.
16 plates. I almost ate so much I had to make myself throw up.
Like Plantation Buffet.
Yeah, Plantation Buffet. Mishawaka, Indiana, right outside of South Bend. Evil Czech. Go check it out.
All right. I think we've given the people enough today.
Yep. Next week, the plan next week, going to go ahead and tell you, we believe we're having the great Mark Weiser on. I spoke with a gentleman on Saturday by the name of Claude Felton, who told me he would like to come on the show after us asking. So I'm excited about maybe getting Claude Felton on. Other prospective guests, Chuck Oliver, Chip Towers. Some good shows coming up, we hope. You know, it's kind of always touch and go with people's schedules. But those are some of the people we're in talks with. If you've got ways to, you know, encourage or even physically intimidate those people, please do it for us. We appreciate it.
Somebody find Travis Tripp for us. Yeah, all right. I think that's it for us, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. Make sure to tune into the Georgia Show. Get over to Dogs HQ and check everything out, too. We have a good time over there as well. We'll see ya.
Oh.